gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Like we're going to see, or maybe that more accurately said is feel, some more cold weather tonight. That's right, folks. A little bit of cool weather here in Central Florida, getting us in the mood for the holiday season, as it were. All right, we're here. We're live. That's right, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, alone temporarily in the studio right now. I'll explain that here in a minute. Got Nick Lo Cicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the show today as we kick off Thanksgiving holiday week. And it's going to be a three-day week for us, as I mentioned before, but I'll mention again in case some of you didn't hear. Let's see, we're going to be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. We're going to take a four-day weekend, sort of rest up from the election season, get ready for the fight ahead, and it looks like it's going to be a ballroom brawl. But did we expect anything less or anything different? No, I don't think so. So, okay, so just put that on your calendar. But that doesn't mean you got to go four whole days without listening to the American Adversaries, because you can always go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, check out our archive. We got not each and every show we've ever done, but we got the vast majority of them, especially since we started on the weekdays. But we got the very first show up there. We got our Halloween show up there, War of the Words. And we got last Tuesday, a couple of weeks ago, election night coverage is up there now, too. So please check that out. And, of course, over this weekend, you'll have plenty of time to do so because we won't be on the air, as I said. But there will be some great programming right here nonetheless. So you'll still have some great radio all weekend long right here on these great stations. Okay, having said that, Abe Katzman will be joining us today from whereabouts, I don't know. He may still be in New York City as it is, and or he may be in Seattle. But he'll be checking in here in just a few minutes, and we'll be talking with him for a while. And, of course, you're welcome to call and ask him questions or make comments. And during the second hour, we're going to bring in our web guy, James Buckland, and we're going to talk about our website a little bit. So if you have any questions about our website or suggestions about our website during that next hour of the show when James is on, that'd be a good time to give us a call. We got a lot to talk about here tonight, but once again, we'll take your phone calls. Real quick, Trump's numbers are up. The Clinton Foundation numbers are down. That's right. The world is beginning to right itself, as it were. Donald Trump's approval rating, yes, they did a Donald Trump approval rating right after the election, and it was at that time 37%. It has since jumped just a little bit less than 25% up to 46% since post-election day. And, of course, that reflects how he has been handling so far the interviewing, if you will, of these cabinet prospects and other key administration positions. And then, of course, you have these protesters in the street who are just looking like a bunch of spoiled brats or troublemakers. And so Donald Trump's looking pretty good by comparison. By the way, the president's approval rating is still extremely high for a president this time in his administration, which is around 55-56%. And so Donald Trump was given, in essence, a warning by the president, I think, today, a not-so-veiled warning. This was in an interview where he said, and I think he said this in Lima, Peru, actually, last night. But anyway, he said in an interview in a news conference that he was asked and the reporter phrased it, you know, George W. Bush got out of your way when you became, I'm paraphrasing, got out of your way when you became president. Are you going to give Donald Trump the same courtesy, if you will? And the president said, oh, yeah, I'm going to take Michelle on vacation and got to spend some time with my girls. But you know, I plan to think and write and read. I'll stay out of his way as long as I don't think he's doing anything to steer the country in the wrong direction or go against our values, our shared values, which means, of course, he's going to be lurking out there. Looking over Donald Trump's shoulder at every moment and being a royal nuisance. But once again, did we expect anything different? No. As a matter of fact, I kind of welcome it. You know, let the buffoon try to make his case. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because we got, let's just say, we got some serious business to do, and we got a serious man who's going to take care of it. It's not going to be any of this politicking and BSing around and stuff. It's time for results, and that's what this president knows he's going to be measured by, results, not words. And so bring it on, Mr. Obama. You want to hang around and be a nuisance and try to make the case for your lousy policies? Bring it on. You want to continue to be the quote-unquote community organizer, which of course means troublemaker? Bring it on. Right? Because we're going to have to deal with it, and we're willing to deal with it, and we're ready to deal with it, because we're getting the right personnel to deal with it, the right team on the field, as it were. And I'm going to be looking at this cabinet not so much as a cabinet, but as a team effort here to really rejuvenate, revitalize, and re-steer our government in a big different direction, a much more effective and efficient direction. And it can be done. But you got to run it like a tight ship. You got to demand results, and you don't get them, then you find the people who can get them for you. And that's the process that's going on over the last few days with these people parading in and out of Trump Tower and in the golf club. And today Trump met with Rick Perry, former governor, of course, of Texas. He is rumored to be considered for the Secretary of Energy. And he also met today with the heads of some of the networks, including the head of CNN and the head of MSNBC. And I would presume he's probably run into these guys, maybe at least some of them, before at some of these functions like the president's dinners in Washington, D.C., and parties and other things in New York City. But today, I suppose that it was not so much friendly banter as business, and it'd be interesting to know what he told these network executives, these cable network executives. In the meantime, a couple of more police officers have been targeted for assassination. And the violence continues unabated against our police forces around the country. And Barack Obama is, when it comes to trying to end this violence, he seems to have no interest whatsoever in ending this kind of violence. As a matter of fact, he just sort of encourages it. And it's, once again, you know, this is what we are going to be up against. As Trump takes office, the easy part was winning the election. The hard part is going to be dealing with these fools in government. And by the way, there's a handful of them on our side of the aisle, too, as you know. So I hope we're all ready for the fight ahead. I'm looking forward to it myself. All right. We got Brad on the line right now. Brad, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being there.
Oh, good evening. Good evening, guys.
How you doing?
Two things. One, what you were just talking about, the targeting over the weekend of these brave police officers. These are the men and the women who keep us from total chaos and anarchy. And you're right, the president does not ever address that. All he talks about is regulating guns from good law-abiding citizens. overwhelmingly, the targeting of police is done by African-American males. It's not even close. And the president is silent on it, and it's such an outrage. These are assassinations, as you put it. And the message needs to be sent that this behavior, we will hunt you. We will hunt you. That's how serious this matter is. And on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell, they don't even discuss this because it doesn't fit their political viewpoint. That's how deplorable they are.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And then I wanted to touch on the Hamilton thing, if I will. As you know, our vice president took his daughters and their friends to see a play. And I'm in the industry, by the way. Anyone knows that entertainment and hospitality, if you make a paying customer feel uncomfortable in any way, that means talking religion or politics on company property, your boss who signs your paycheck can legally terminate you immediately. This actor is lucky that his boss happens to be probably a left-wing flaming liberal.
Right.
Otherwise, he
exactly.
would have been out on the street so fast, his butt, and legally, and there's people on the left that are defending this actor, when in reality, you cannot do. You don't have freedom of speech at your job a la Colin Kaepernick. The only reason why Colin Kaepernick still has a job is because his owners that sign his paycheck don't have the cojones to do anything about it.
Well, and plus they're on the hook for paying him tens of millions of dollars, even if they let him go. So I imagine they're holding on to him, hoping to God somebody will offer to trade somebody for him, right? Take him off their hands. Let me take these in order. The police shootings, yeah, Barack Obama is derelict in his duty, but that's going to end on January the 20th. Donald Trump is going to demand that this stop. And he's going to provide the leadership that Obama doesn't. The sad thing is that Obama, because you're actually correct, most of, but not all, but most of these, the matter of fact, the overwhelming majority of these assassinations on police officers are being conducted by black males against both black, white, Hispanic, and female. They don't care. It's just blue. All they see in the police is that they got a badge. They kill them, right? And so it's not a racism thing, but it is black males predominantly committing these crimes. And that's why it's so very sad that Barack Obama stands there dumb. And what I mean dumb, you know, like blind, deaf, and dumb. He's dumb to it. He won't say anything about it. And it's actually costing black lives, too. And if black lives really matter to the man, he would be out there demanding that this violence stop. And he would also be demanding that the violence stop in cities like Chicago and Philadelphia and Baltimore and you name it. Orlando, for heaven's sake. We got the Orlando Sentinel concerned about teenagers killing one another here in our fine city. Yeah, I've noticed it too. As the nature of downtown has changed, the crime rate has skyrocketed. When I was a younger man, even, you did not have this kind of carnage and murder in downtown Orlando. That prosecutor who got fired after the Pulse shooting down there when he tweeted or he Facebooked or something about how, you know, if you go downtown at night, you're taking your life in your own hands, and he gets fired. He's right. I mean, this is violence around our country, and our president, in fact, encourages it. He's on the way out the door. And we got a guy coming in who's going to handle the situation differently. But that, once again, it would have been better if Barack Obama, being that he's a black man himself, if he would demand that these black people quit doing this. Because it doesn't do them any good either. Now, in terms of the vice president going to that thing on Broadway, we talked about it on the show last night. You know, these actors are just a reflection, if you will, of people in that field. If you're in that, you know, deal with these people, you know what I'm talking about. They like to what I call, I characterize it as they live their lives in the mirror. In other words, they're always looking at themselves, admiring themselves, going, look how great I am. Look how wonderful I am. And this guy stands up. And he's, you know, standing up there, and it was part acting, part lecture, because of the way he was, his mannerisms and the way he delivered it. He was in an acting sort of fashion, he was delivering this lecture to the vice president. Quite wholly inappropriate. You're absolutely right. If his boss had the mind, he could fire him. Of course, that's not going to happen. They love the publicity. But I tell you what, if there are people out there who boycott this play now because of that, that would be good. And because we have freedom of speech and action, too. And we don't have to take this nonsense. And we don't have to take this nonsense like what was being broadcast on the airwaves last night. And I hope Donald Trump told these SOBs when he met with them today, these characters who run these networks, that, look, you are part and parcel of all the violence and all the bad things happening in our country today because of the way you treat people in the media, in particular people who you don't, you know, share beliefs with. And you better be acting a little bit more responsibly for your own good. And so, the guy made I can't say what I want to say, but he made a fool of himself. But you know, once again, if they want to do that, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Let's let everybody see your arrogance, your self-righteousness, your condescending attitude, and we'll just take note of it, all right? Because life is long and it's sweet, and those words that came out of their mouths, or his mouth, at that play the other night will never go away. And he will be known by many, many more as the fool that he is. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Abe Katzman's going to join us. And you can continue to join us as well. And I hope you will. We will be back after this short break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S. Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089. 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089. Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife Jana own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
It's pretty typical on the eastbound side of I-4. Slow from the turnpike to Ivanhoe, Fairbanks to Maitland, and heavy 417 to the bridge. And on the westbound side, we've got a car fire past the bridge. You're heavy back to the Berry Avenue. After that, Ivanhoe to South Trail, John Young Parkway to the turnpike, Sand Lake to 535, and heavy past 192. 408 eastbound, a crash before I-4. Backups back to Pine Hills now. And you're heavy on the 417 northbound from Curry Ford Road on up. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer.
That's right, folks. You know the music. You know the man. Abe Katzman is his name. He's with us right now, coming to us from whereabouts, Abe? Whereabouts are you tonight?
I am in Seattle, Washington right now.
Are you? Let me ask you a question. Before you left New York City, Did you happen to take in any lectures on Broadway?
Well, with the protests that were going around in front of Trump Tower, it was hard to get there. So I had to get my lectures from just from people I was running into on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Okay. Did you run across any happy people last week when you were on? You said there was a lot of sad faces in New York.
There were some. There were some who know me. And some who kind of flashed, you know, surreptitiously flashed me a little victory sign,
yeah,
and then went about their business as if nothing happened.
Right.
everybody trying to keep a low profile.
Yeah, like the secret handshake type thing, right?
That's right.
All right. Let's start in. Last Thursday, the Anti-Defamation League met in New York, and evidently they were very concerned about a rise in anti-Semitism in the United States. Can you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. They, on the one hand, I think it's true, but on the other hand, I think they're looking in the wrong place. Remember, this is the same Anti-Defamation League that just, you know, a couple of days earlier had started launched the attack against Steve Bannon for
right.
being an anti-Semite.
Right.
And that's a pretty serious charge to throw out there, especially with you know, really no evidence for it. They actually eventually backtracked on that accusation, but not before it was repeated and spread all over the world, and I think that's something that Bannon is now tarred with. And they keep talking about things at the alt-right and the rise of things on the right. Now, they did mention, to their credit, the rise from organizations like Black Lives Matter, which has accused Israel of genocide against the Palestinian population. But there seems to be a lot of panic there. They're talking about, they made the claim that this is the worst anti-Semitism in America since the 1930s. Their evidence for that, I'm not sure. According to the FBI numbers, there was a 9% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in the past year, which is not a good thing, but, I mean, it's 9%. I don't even know if that's way beyond whatever the overall crime rate increase might have been in the U.S., So I don't know why now they're so worried about things happening from the right. Now, there may just be a certain disconnect. It is not a right-wing organization. There is an element of derangement and panic and not, I think, fully grasping what it is that, you know, who Donald Trump is and, more importantly, who Donald Trump is not.
Right.
You know, this is not going to usher in, this is not the American Nazi Party the way that they that some people painted. On the other hand, you look at what's happening among the Democrats. They're about to make Keith Ellison the head of the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
He's a guy who is a spokesman, I think, for the Nation of Islam, has made all kinds of very strongly anti-Israel. This is a Farrakhan ally. Nation of Islam is not a nation that you want represented in the U.S. Congress, let alone the head of one of the parties.
Right.
At the same time, I think it was a week ago that there were five. I hope I've got my timing right on this, but there were five Democratic congressmen who were visiting Israel and who went to Ramallah. Which is okay. You can meet with Palestinian leaders there, but the person they met with was actually a representative of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a terror group. And so, what are these people doing?
One of them,
by the way, was Hank Johnson, who previously called settlers termites.
Hold it right there, Abe. I want to pick this up on the other side. Once again, we're speaking with Abe Katz.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And we're back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are the American adversaries coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, Christopher Hart here, Abe Katzman in Seattle, 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation here. Abe, we were just talking about this anti-Semitism stuff because it really does seem to be heating up that not only has Steve Bannon been tarred with this, but they're also trying to tar Donald Trump with it too, right?
So it seems, and I think that the Bannon, the accusations against Bannon are just a way of getting at Trump.
Right.
There's nothing there. I just don't think it's, I think it's terribly unfair, and I think the organizations making the claims are doing more harm to their own credibility than they are to Donald Trump.
And, of course, some of these organizations are the cable networks, network news organizations. He met with the heads of a couple of them today. What do you think he might have told them?
Well, I don't think he was kissing up to them. I imagine he was, the tone he has struck since the election is one of magnanimous victor. And he's being pleasant to everybody, but he is also making the point that this was an election that he won, and he's putting a team together. And as long, like he always says, if people treat him fairly, he'll treat them fairly. I think that's something that he was reiterating here. I don't know if he, I think that he actually made any sort of threats about access or anything like that. If there weren't fair treatment, I think we would have heard about that. So I don't think it was anything too dramatic.
Let's talk a minute about the people that he's had coming and visiting him. Of course, the one that's been getting the most attention, well, a couple of them have, but Mitt Romney certainly has gotten a lot of attention, possible Secretary of State. And you mentioned the magnanimous victor. I noticed when I saw the video of Romney coming and going, just the sort of the body language, Donald Trump looked huge and Mitt Romney kind of small next to him. That aside, what did you think when you heard of his name being kicked around like that?
Well, I think that it is a good sign. Even if he doesn't end up naming Romney to anything, just the reconciliation, the putting the party back together again, really getting the support of a lot of people, because this was divisive. Everybody talks about how divided the nation is, but it's not just divided between Democrats and Republicans. It's divided between Trumpers and never-Trumpers. It's divided even among the never-Trumpers between different types. So I think it's rather big of him to put all that aside and put aside some pretty nasty things that were said about him, and now it's time to serve the country. And I think the people that he's dealing with also understand that. I think that Mitt Romney is somebody who understands that we put aside our personal feuds. If somebody like Romney feels that he can serve the country best by wherever Donald Trump wants to put him, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes it.
I think what you say is right, that, he's doing this to bring, the party and then, of course, the more indirectly, the country together. And the fact that Romney especially was the one who seemed to be so, adamant and so, vociferous and vicious in his attacks on Donald Trump, even recruiting a candidate to run against him, and then Trump to reach out to him, with his hand and offer him a handshake and say, hey, it's all, the fight's over, now let's get down to business. I think that really does say something very good about Donald Trump, the man himself, don't you?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this a little bit. Much of what Trump does well is stuff that he does without words, without public words. He gets in trouble, in fact, when he goes out and starts speaking or tweeting. But as a man of action, as somebody who puts teams together, as somebody who decides where it is that what he's going to focus on, how he's just how he's going to pursue different things, I think that he's very good at this. I think it's no coincidence that at this time that he's been relatively quiet and yet very active, his popularity is going up.
Yeah.
And it's too soon, really, to base that on anything except public perception. And I think people think that this is somebody who, even though he was painted as kind of a joke, is somebody who gets down to business. And it's more important to get this work done, to put the cabinet together, than it is to go out publicly preening and insulting people and taking additional shots from the White House at Rosie O'Donnell or something. You know, he's down to serious business here.
Yeah, indeed he is. Let's talk a minute about a couple of the other picks. Jeff Sessions looks like he's going to be the attorney general. There seems to be a fight brewing over him, trying to label him as a racist. I don't see these labels having as much impact as they perhaps once had. What do you think?
The left seems to need a lightning rod on the right. So
right.
This week was Bannon. Next week is Sessions. I don't know who's going to be after that. I really don't know whether these types of things stick. I look at these things with Bannon. I think that tarring Bannon with the anti-Semitic brush is something that they succeeded at doing. I think that's now part of his reputation. It's the first association a lot of people make with him.
Right.
Somebody like Sessions, it's going to be a little more difficult just because the guy's had a 30-year public career and record, and now is the first time that, except for people with very long political memories, this is the first time they're going to be hearing anything about any sort of accusations of racism. And again, it's from 3 decades ago. So I don't think it's going to stick as well. But who knows what else they find and what they're going to pick up on someone else or who they decide the next target is going to be. But the one thing we see is that they pick a target and they go after that target.
Yeah, indeed they do. Let's just talk just a second or two about Chuck Schumer. Have you ever met him in your visits to New York, or do you know people who know him?
I've never met him. I know people that have dealt with him, but more on a constituent service basis, where he's supposedly pretty good.
Okay. He's indicated that, he's opening to work with Trump, but he's also going to be, his worst enemy if necessary. You think it's going to be as difficult to work with him as it was with Harry Reid? Let me put it that way.
I think it's actually going to be similar. I think that the, they've got different, they have different political personalities, but I think when it comes down to it, both of them are going to be doing what they can to throw sand into the gears of the administration, and really stop a lot of the things that that President-elect Trump really would like to do. I think he'll be equally underhanded. I think he'll be equally dishonest. I think that there is a strong element that both of them represent on the left that the end justifies the means. It's unfortunate, but I think that is the obsession with power and control and getting their way, that's more important than anything to them. So
yeah.
I don't expect an improvement.
Yeah, that ends justifies the means. That's got to be amongst the top one or two, in the handbook of liberal tactics, right, to defeat the other side. The ambassador to Israel, ambassadorship to Israel, has been rumored to go to Mike Huckabee. Now, he's denied it. He says that he and Trump haven't even talked about it, but certainly that has been kicked around quite a bit. Would he be a good ambassador?
I have no reason to think he wouldn't be. I think he's a good man. He knows Israel, and Israel knows him. He has a very, very good reputation there. He's visited I don't even know how many times. He's probably the... of all the people who were running, he had probably spent more time in Israel than anyone else, and maybe even more than any other candidate ever. He is really frequently in Israel. So I think he'd be fine. I think the role of ambassador to Israel, it sounds like it's an important foreign policy sort of position. But in some ways, I think it's a lot less important than it sounds. I think that the key really has to do with what the administration's overall orientation and policy toward Israel and toward the Middle East would be. The ambassador is really there kind of to make America's case to the Israeli government. And if it's a good case to make and one that that the Israeli government would want to hear, it really doesn't matter that much whether it's Huckabee or the current ambassador, Dan Shapiro. They're making the case. They're making the case. That's their job. More important would be who the ambassador is to the United Nations. Or, I mean, it's really more important from Israel's standpoint who Israel's ambassador is to the U.S. That is really key. But I think that ambassador from the U.S. to Israel, very nice, good position. I'd be happy if it were Huckabee, but I just don't know that it's going to make that big a difference in terms of how things develop.
Hand in hand with that rumor is the rumor that the embassy would be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and Jerusalem be declared the capital of Israel. Would that create a lot of problems for Benjamin Netanyahu, or is that something that he wants to get done?
It's something he would like to get done, but I don't think it's the top of his list of priorities. It is a priority for Israel. Israel does not like the fact that that the world still considers Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, not just East Jerusalem, but all of Jerusalem to be in some kind of, have some sort of special status as was designed in 1947, but never implemented.
Right.
And the world is still sticking with this, this UN-designed plan that never went into effect that from almost 70 years ago now. So I think Israel would really like this to be abandoned and to see a country like the United States actually recognize the reality, which is that this is the capital of Israel. It's always been the capital of Israel. It's been the only capital in history for Israel. It's never been anyone else's capital. I mean, you can go down the line with these types of things. It really, the capital is in Israel. Is in
Jerusalem.
It's Jerusalem.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. So recognize it and go ahead and move the embassy. It will be it will cause a diplomatic row among the question is how serious. I mean, the Arab countries, the Palestinians are not going to be happy with it. They will express their displeasure, but hopefully only verbally.
OK. Do you know if the prime minister has contacted Donald Trump?
I think they, if I'm not mistaken, they spoke very shortly after the election results were final. But I don't know if any, I think it was just the usual congratulatory sorts of things. I don't think there's been any sort of policy discussed yet.
Okay. Speaking of the prime minister, I noticed, and this was in the paper last week here locally, that there is a movement in Israel to pass a law, and correct me if I'm incorrect, if I'm wrong here, that would allow settlements to be built in the disputed territories without government involvement or approval. Did I get that right? And is that something that's going to be a problem?
This is a very complex subject. Let's start with that.
Okay.
There are a number of settlements. For one thing, it is the position of Israel, and it actually is should be the position of everyone because it's pretty clear in the law that building settlements, that Israel building settlements in these territories is perfectly legal. And that said, there's a question of what is allowed by the Israeli government. So the Israeli government has there are a bunch of legally recognized settlements and settlement blocks, but there are also there have been a number of people who have gone out and created what they refer to as outposts, which is they'll take a hilltop somewhere, an empty hilltop, they'll pitch tents, they'll start building homes or buildings, and the goal is that is to have the Israeli government ultimately recognize them as being a new settlement and hook them up to the electrical grids and everything else. The problem here is twofold. One is that right now, the Obama administration is very antagonistic to anything that goes on, to any building at all in anywhere in the territories. But they're significantly more worried about anything that happens that's outside of these handful of major settlement blocks. A lot of these outposts are in somewhat remote areas. And since it is the Obama administration's position that this is all supposed to become part of a Palestinian state, it makes things more complicated to put up, to legalize settlements in these areas. That's their position. I don't know. You can always leave the settlement if there's an agreement to that effect. They did it in Gaza.
Right.
So there are a bunch of these, there are about 75 of these outposts. One other complicating factor is that a number of them seem to be on either disputed land of disputed ownership or land that might actually be privately Palestinian-owned land. Now, that's a problem.
Right.
It's not an insurmountable one. There are eminent domain laws if the government actually wants to decide this is a place where a town has to be built. But it's problematic. Now, right now, Netanyahu is not in favor of doing this at the moment. He wants to not do anything that will prompt the Obama administration to do anything in retaliation. So he would like to push all of this off until January 21st.
Speaking of Barack Obama, you know, we've expressed concerns, you've expressed concerns on the show numerous times that he still has a surprise, if you will, in his bag of tricks for Israel before he ducks out of office. Do you feel any safer now that Donald Trump has been elected and the world would be paying less and less attention to him, knowing that things are going to change dramatically on the 20th, or do you feel even more apprehensive?
Well, everybody's a little bit apprehensive because they feel that now he can really do what he wants for the next several weeks without any, with no political implications. He's the fact that it doesn't, he can do things. He might be able to do things at the UN. And while the UN might not be paying as much attention to him now as they were 6 months ago, if they have an opportunity, if there's a window here to get, American participation in some sort of anti-Israel measure, I think they would they'd move pretty quickly to do it.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to continue to hold our breath until January the 20th and continue to pray for Israel and you and travel safely as you continue to circumvent the globe.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Abe, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. To you, too.
All right. Okay. God bless you.
Bye.
All right. Once again, that is Abe Katzman joining us tonight from Seattle. And, of course, you can find his great work at his website, Abe Katzman. You spell Katzman with an S, abekatzman.com. Or, of course, you can go to our website, American Adversaries, and we put his stuff on our Facebook page, too. So you'll find his stuff through us as well. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour. But don't forget, we got a whole nother hour to go. And then at 7 o'clock, Larry Elder's show comes on. So you got a lot of great radio to go right here tonight. So please don't go away.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Hi, I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
What's it like on I-4? We've got the answer. Traffic you can trust. Answer traffic now.
Eastbound I-4, your delay starts at the turnpike up to Maitland for about 30 minutes, then 436 to 434, slow and go, and 417 to the bridge, still heavy. Westbound car fire past the bridge in Sanford has been cleared now. You've still got a heavy ride back to DeBerry Avenue. After that, Ivanhoe to South Trail, John Young Parkway to the turnpike, Sand Lake to 535, and heavy past 192. 408 eastbound, that crash before I-4 causing delays back to Pine Hills, and a new crash, Sand Lake Road at Turkey Lake Road with a lane blocked. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 at AM 660, The Answer.
You gotta keep them separated.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you're listening to The American Adversaries, where we separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and myths from reality. Okay, welcome back to the show. And I got a little text here from Nostra Dennis. I said, as I was saying goodbye to Abe Katzman, I said he was going to be circumventing the globe, which, of course, means you're avoiding something. So I should have said circumnavigate. I thought I was being so clever and smart. Thank you, Nostra Dennis. All right. Yeah, just a few minutes left in this segment, and we've been promoting this Sudden Sam McDowell Celebrity Golf Tournament. We'd really like you to participate in this. It's a great cause, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and it's going to be going on December the 9th and the 10th. Now, that's a Friday and Saturday. Actually, on December 9th, it'll be a Friday evening pairing party, and it's going to be at the Orange Lake Golf Course down there in Kissimmee area. Beautiful facility down there, course and country club and everything. And of course, then on the 10th, you'll play golf, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. And you're going to have a celebrity with each foursome. I'm going to be out there. Mike McBath's going to be out there. Reggie Branch is going to be out there. And a lot of course, Sam McDowell's going to be there. And a lot of baseball and football players and other media types will be there. So we'd like you to be there, too, December 9th and the 10th. And all the proceeds from this charity golf tournament go to Operation Renewed Hope Foundation. And their purpose is to end veteran homelessness in our country. Great cause, Operation Renewed Hope Foundation. Now, here's the deal. If you tell them that you heard about it on The American Adversaries and you're a veteran, you can play the whole package. This is Friday, everything, Saturday, everything. This includes all your meals, your drinks, the awards, and all this stuff. $75 if you're a vet and you mentioned The American Adversaries. It's $100 if you mention The American Adversaries and you're not a vet. And if you just want to pay the full bore price, it's $125, $500 for a foursome. And to get signed up, call Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. That's Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. Or if you didn't get that phone number, just call the call-in number here and give your information to Nick, and we'll pass it on to Charlie and get you signed up for that great golf tournament. Okay. Got just a few minutes left in this segment of the show. As I was saying earlier, Donald Trump's poll numbers are up since the election, and the Clinton Foundation numbers, their donations are down, way down, 37% down in just a few weeks here. And, of course, this would mean that the people who were given large sums or any sums of money to the Clinton Foundation, many of them have either been sobered up by the revelations of the foundation or didn't really have intentions of helping people out as much as they had intentions of helping themselves out by giving to the Clinton Foundation and buying favors, as it were, from the presumed president-to-be, Ms. Hillary Clinton. And now that she is nothing except a somebody under criminal investigation because of the foundation, I guess a lot of people don't want to sink their money into it. And I anticipate that number to continue to fall as the coming months ahead, and rightfully so. The woman lied through her teeth in the debate, and Donald Trump, this is one of the opportunities he missed, of course, didn't matter, did it? But when she said that that foundation gives 90% of the money to, yeah, right. If, unless she considers herself and her family to be some deserving victim or something because they take the lion's share of the money. No, about somewhere around 6 or 8% of the money that they took in actually went to help people. So people have been wised up to this, and they've been wised up to the racket that they had going on there. And then, of course, the main thing is Hillary Clinton is nothing now. She can't do anything for anybody for those hundreds of millions or tens of millions of dollars. So why do they want to continue to, you know, pour money down that hole? So it's you know, it's, as I said, the world is writing itself. it's sort of like the rough seas are becoming a little bit more calm, as it were. Still got a ways to go, though. We do have a lot of work, and the liberals, they are, like my brother says, they are like the Terminator. You can beat them up, you can tear them up, and they'll just put themselves back together and come back at you again. So once again, we got a lot of work ahead, but we're going to be ready for it, and I hope you are too. I hope you're ready for our number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, because that's where we're headed to after this short break. And don't forget, Larry Elder's coming up after us tonight. Big treat for you tomorrow night. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to be in the studio with us. That's right. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. By the way, contest week will be on Wednesday again this week, because, of course, we won't be here on Thursday. It'll be Thanksgiving, and boy, do we have a whole lot. Back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on this chilly and getting colder, to me colder, to some of you cooler, Monday evening here in Central Florida. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to us live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, got Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. And, of course, you can be a part of the action here tonight, too. All you got to do is pick up that phone, warm it up, and dial up 407-774-8255, and we'll put you on the airwaves. All right, before we get going here in the second hour, just another quick reminder. Of course, this is Thanksgiving week, and we're going to take a four-day weekend this week, so we'll be off from Thursday through Sunday, but be back a week from tonight, all fired up, ready to go, ready for the fight ahead, and yep, we got one. Of course, we expected it, but that's why we're here. So thank you for being with us, and we'll get ready for this fight and take it on, take it as it comes, as it were. All right. Spent a lot of time talking with Abe Katzman in the first part of the show and talking about some of these cabinet picks. A lot more people have gone through. Trump is back in Trump Towers today. They've been going in and out of Trump Tower, including Christie was there, I believe, yesterday. But Rick Perry and his wife went up to meet the Donald today, as did a number of, if you listen to the news at the top of the hour, a number of network executives and anchors and on-air talking heads like Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos and Chuck Boy Todd and others met with the Donald today. It'd be interesting to know what he said. Obviously, I think it was just courtesy. Hi, how are you? No hard feelings. We're ready to make America great again. I hope you'll help us out. And, of course, the media types were there to get whatever inside knowledge or glean whatever they could from the meeting. And, of course, they're going to come back and just be what they are anyway. But, nonetheless, Donald Trump is trying to be magnanimous. He's trying to reach out and, if you will, draw the country back together. He's trying to be a good president. How about that? And we'll see how far the outreach to these liberal organizations and these liberal talking heads goes. Aside from that, it looks like General Mattis is running a strong first place to be the head of the Defense Department, Secretary of Defense. He is one of the generals, I believe, who was mentioned by General Vallely last week when we had him on our show. And he was talking about how under the Trump administration, they were putting together an advisory paper to basically purge, if you will, the upper echelon of the military of the Obama types and put in leaders like Mattis and others, who can be, shall we say, take the security of the United States of America a little bit more seriously and the politics a little less so. So that definitely looks good. He's got Jeff Sessions lined up to be Attorney General. Of course, he was a federal prosecutor. He'd be a great guy for the job. The Democrats are lining up against him, though, going to tag him with the racist label. So expect that fight to come. I don't see that that's going to hold him up from confirmation, but they're going to try to, as Abe Katzman characterized it, tar him with that. And we'll see about the ambassador to Israel. I know there were a lot of strong rumors, but Mike Huckabee has adamantly denied that he and Donald Trump have talked about that. But as you heard Abe Katzman say, he'd be a good guy, for that job, should he choose to take it. And with Mitt Romney, I know there are a lot of hard feelings out there about Mitt Romney, but, this is where Donald Trump is really proving what he's made of, that he doesn't take that personally. And it's like I've said on the show a number of times, and I think Donald Trump has some, if you will, similar understanding. He may not characterize it like I do, but I think he has a similar understanding, and that is that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. And when you get in the ring, you beat the snot out of one another. But then when you go behind the curtain, you sort of pat one another on the back because you need that opponent. You need that person out there. And in particular, if that person was, supposedly on your side. So, in other words, he doesn't take it personally. A lot of these other politicians do. They take it real personal. Jeb Bush is an example. Marco Rubio is an example. They just can't bring themselves to, recognize Donald Trump as just being a fierce competitor. To them, it's far more personal. It's something that's unforgivable, so to speak. And well, that's okay. That's their loss. We're finding more about them in that case than we are about Donald Trump. They can be that way if they like. But the bottom line is, Trump is a man who wants to get results. And he doesn't want to be dogged, with a bunch of snipping at his heels from his own party or people who could be more helpful to him than they could then be hurtful. So, he's reaching out, and the country is noticing. His approval numbers have dramatically increased since the days after the election, when they were about 37%. Now they're 46%. Because the people see that, contrary to what they had been told for months, about a year and a half, actually, the man is serious about the job. He does want to do a good job, and he's being very methodical about choosing the people that he wants. But he's also being very public about it, if you notice. All of these people are being, videoed, filmed, if you will, as they come and go from wherever the meeting place is. Once again, today in Trump Tower, over the weekend, it was at the golf resort in New Jersey. But there's no, sneaking in through the back way, or you see the SUV, going into the underground parking garage, and you just hear, from the media types what they found out from the insiders. And nope, he's got them walking in and out the front door. They got to go up the elevator at Trump Tower, just like everybody else that lives there or visits there. And it's wide open to the public for them to see who he is entertaining. And he did meet with these media executives and these media talking heads today. Did not try to keep that secret. That's out there. And So he's going about this, as I said, in a methodical, purposeful, and results-oriented fashion. And when he does come to his cabinet choices, I think we're going to see a strong team that he assembles. And, of course, Mike Pence is right there as his quarterback, so to speak. By the way, speaking of his cabinet, we are running, by the way, a contest to name his cabinet. And if you win the contest, we'll treat you and that significant other of yours, your wife, your husband, child, whatever, two of you, to dinner with us, on us, at Cafe Positano. And what we are looking for is you name three for us, and then we'll let you name one of your own choosing. We want to know who's going to be the Secretary of State, who's going to be the Secretary of Defense, who's going to be the Attorney General, and we're going to keep that Attorney General. We're going to give you that one if it's going to be Jeff Sessions, and a wild card one where you tell us what the position is and who you want or who you think Donald Trump is going to choose for that position. Let me give you a for instance. Tommy thinks that Michael Flynn is going to be the Secretary of State. Michael Flynn is reported now to be named the National Security Advisor. So, Tommy, you might want to change that. Secretary of Defense, Tommy is saying General Petraeus. And there is speculation that his name is being kicked around. To my knowledge, he has not come or gone to meet with Donald Trump yet. For Attorney General, he chose Rudy Giuliani. Well, you may want to change that one too, Tommy. And then he chose Ben Carson for Secretary of Education. That's what we're looking for. And Tommy, you can change those entries if you want to. Rudy Giuliani, it appears, is not going to be the Attorney General. But once again, we don't really know. So you may want to just leave it like that. So if you want to get in on that contest, and of course we won't know the winner until these positions are named, but if you can name them all, once again, it's dinner on us with us at Cafe Positano. So if you want to get in on the cabinet merry-go-round, I guess we could call it, if you will. And once again, we'll keep an eye on that and keep track of the people who are going and coming, and keep you up to date on that sort of thing. The media, in the meantime, are lining up once again against Donald Trump. They're laying some seeds out there, and these know-it-alls, who we found out didn't know so much at all after all, are once again taking themselves too seriously and issuing warnings, threats, advice, however you want to characterize it, to the newly elected president. This morning on The Morning Joke, you had Joe Scarborough there, and it's comical the way he always does this. He sets it up. He sets himself up as the authority by going, "Yeah, I've been there before. I've done that. Yeah, I ran for an election. I ran for office. I was in Congress. I've been there. I've done that." And of course, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about, but that doesn't seem to stop him. And there he was this morning advising Donald Trump, "You better watch out with this business stuff. This can be the first. This can be the quickest way, you know, to get arrested. You know, you get your business interest tied up with politics. That's the quickest way to go down. You know, it won't take but about a year. You better, you know, get rid of the." Yeah. What a moron! I mean, this guy doesn't know at all what he's talking about. He guaranteed us that Donald Trump was going to lose the election. He was encouraging Republicans in the Senate who were up for re-election to not have anything to do with Donald Trump. Get away from him as far and as fast as you can, even you members of the House, because you are going to certainly lose the Senate and maybe even the House if you keep warming up to that Donald Trump, you know, that buffoon, that clown. There's no way he's going to win. Well, there he was this morning, the same morning jokester, telling us how they predicted that he would win. And, in fact, they did give him a great deal of chance of winning the primary, but they gave him no chance at all of winning the general election. And he was there trying to say that, oh, yeah, there they were. And his warning to Donald Trump is, you better not tie your business up with the politics. You know, it's going to be the quickest way. And just look at the former governor of Virginia, his whole career and his whole life ruined over a Rolex watch. Well, I got news for you, Mr. Morning Joke. Donald Trump doesn't need a Rolex watch, and he don't need your advice either. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's going to have the best of legal counsel around him. He doesn't need you, and he doesn't need Barack Obama to tell him to hire a good lawyer. I mean, what kind of idiots are these people? They're telling Donald Trump to hire a good lawyer. Can you imagine that? I mean, that is the epitome of ignorance and arrogance, right? But, hey, you know, they gotta make themselves legitimate again. They got to make themselves relevant again. That's what it's all about. They have been deemed irrelevant. They have been deemed ignoramuses. They have been deemed invisible, exactly. And they are trying to reappear on the scene as though nothing ever happened out there. And even Michael Medved, now I'll say this for Michael Medved, you know, I always, you know, felt that he was saying what he believed, and he was always being genuine. We disagreed with him, but he was genuine. And I believe he's genuine now when he says that he is impressed with Donald Trump and he's going to do everything that he can to help Donald Trump succeed. Lo and behold, how about that? All this around Donald Trump. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be real fun over these next few years, that's for sure. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about this and some other subjects. We're also going to talk a little bit about our website. And don't forget, this is Thanksgiving week, and when you're giving thanks, please praise God and thank God for the miraculous outcome in this election, because indeed, the hand of God was at work. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Folks, please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123, 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
All right, that's right, folks. The money, money, money man, Donald Trump, running the show. All right, It's going to be very interesting over these next few months to see where the Democrats go from here. They've got their own inner turmoil, as it were, trying to figure out who's going to be the next speaker. Next minority leader of the House. This fellow Tim Ryan, Congressman Young, congressman from Ohio, is challenging Nancy Pelosi, the old guard. And that's going to be an interesting fight as that materializes over the next couple of months. They won't hold that election until after the first of the year. And then there is the who is going to run the Democrat Party, the chairman of the DNC. And, of course, we know that has been a, shall we say, snake bit position to be in. Debbie Wasserman Schultz got fired right before the Democratic convention because the WikiLeaks emails were showing that certainly it was in fact the case that the Democrats had rigged the election against Bernie Sanders, who, by the way, is going around telling everybody that'll listen, anybody that'll listen, that if he had been nominated, he would have won. No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think he would have gotten beat a whole lot worse than Hillary Clinton did for various reasons. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz gets fired from that. Of course, she got right off hired by Hillary Clinton, and she won her reelection, so she's still a member of Congress. And then, of course, it was Ms. Donna Brazile, and Ms. Donna Brazile, who everybody liked and everybody respected, because she was this talking head. She was on CNN, she was on ABC, NBC, CBS, and oh, she was the knowledgeable Democrat electioneering genius. Of course, her claim to fame in terms of running elections was she was one of the big losers for the Al Gore campaign. But, of course, it got her a sweet job in the media, just like Georgie Stephanopoulos got one after the Clinton Clinton presidency. But, nonetheless, she ended up becoming the head of the DNC. And then, of course, it came out, thanks again to WikiLeaks emails revelations, that she had been slipping questions to Hillary Clinton for the primary debates, once again proving that the election was rigged against Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley and Jim Webb, for that matter. It was rigged in favor of Hillary Clinton and therefore against everyone else. Well, now that she has been disgraced and is being eased out the door, and they're trying to keep it quiet and everything, right? She's a minority woman, so we don't want to make a big deal out of having to run her out of town because she exposed our cheating. So the Democrats are trying to figure out who's going to fill her shoes. And is it going to be, it seems to be coming down to Keith Ellison, the Muslim congressman from Minnesota, and I believe Minneapolis, as a matter of fact, and Howard Dean, former governor. Yeah! Howard Dean. Yeah, that one. Who was being interviewed by a Canadian TV program. I believe it was today or maybe it was last night, and we just saw the video today, where he was extremely condescending, basically said anybody that voted for Donald Trump was a moron. That's my word. He said uneducated, blue-collar people who don't know their way around the Internet. Well, I'm educated, and I'm blue-collar, and don't know my way all that well around the Internet. But there's a whole lot of people out there who are very educated and know their way around the Internet very well, who voted for Donald Trump. But this is the notion that they have, and that is that anybody who doesn't agree with them has to be a complete idiot. You just have to be, because of course they are so correct and they are so wonderful and they are so right. Once again, they live their lives in the mirror. In other words, they're constantly looking at themselves and admiring themselves, sort of like they're primping all the time, you know, while we're all watching and we're all forced to watch while they primp themselves and credit themselves with being such great geniuses and such compassionate people, and exposing us to their hatred and their vitriol. But I'll say this, lo and behold, the Canadian reporter kind of wasn't having any of it. He was giving right back. He wasn't taking it. And so Howard Dean goes to Canada and actually gets a real deal journalist to sit there and say, now, wait a minute. You know, you're talking about American, you know, tens of millions of people, American, who voted for this guy, and your person lost. And because of that, they're all just a bunch of ignorant fools, I guess, huh? And, of course, to Howard Dean, that's what we all are. But, of course, to all liberals, that's what we all are. You don't believe me? Just think of that liberal in your life and how what they think about you and your views, right? All right? If they're a diehard liberal, they don't think much of you if you are a conservative, and they know it. All right. We got Jerry on the line, but Jerry, I'm sorry, I'm up against the bottom of the hour break, or I'd move it to take your phone call, but if you'll be patient and wait through the break, we'll take your phone call on the other side. All right, we are the American Adversaries. Once again, we're going to be off Thursday through Sunday, but that doesn't mean you can't still have your dose, your fix, your whatever, the American Adversaries. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Check out the archive. We do now have election night coverage up there. It's really cool, and especially as the night goes on, and sort of the expectations of a Trump victory begin to build here in the studio until we finally let loose upon getting the news from Nick that the AP had called Pennsylvania for Donald Trump. Anyway, AmericanAdversaries.com. While you're there, consider joining the American Adversaries Army. It's real easy to do. Just go from our archive to the recruiting office. You can sign up right there. You can be an enlistee. You can be an officer, or you can be a general. It's all up to you. AmericanAdversaries.com. Ah, I love that blues guitar. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. Not at the night. You got the American Adversaries right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Once again, tomorrow night, a special treat for you. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is going to join us in the studio. And then we're going to head over to Cafe Positano afterwards. So if you want to meet Hacksaw, get an autographed 2x4, go down and get you a 2x4, bring it on down, and he'll autograph it for you. All right. Jerry has been patiently waiting on the line. Jerry, thank you so much for being out there tonight.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
I just wanted to point out the another fraudulent demand or idea that the liberals have, that Hillary won the popular vote because Drudge reported that 3.8 million people voted illegally and 1.8 million dead people. And then Veritas, Project Veritas, showed the voter fraud in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and also in Chicago and California. And then today, this afternoon, Terry McAuliffe got busted for voter fraud in the state of Virginia. So evidently, Trump's going to win Virginia as well. So the whole thing is a scam.
Well, I don't know if he's going to win Virginia, but certainly, as a matter of fact, Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America, who was in the studio with us election night, he was our numbers guy on these the presidential states. And we were going to talk about that because, yeah, indeed, there are over 3 million allegedly fraudulent votes nationwide, and you mentioned some of the locales. And as a matter of fact, this is just a quick side note. There was a story last week in the Orlando Sentinel, and I had it with me last night. I was going to talk about it last night, but I forgot about it, and I don't have it with me today. But it was in the Orlando Sentinel last week where they were talking about a felon voted from jail here in Florida, and the article was, we have such a cumbersome system here in Florida to purge felons from the voting rolls. And I'm thinking, yeah, and the Republicans tried to do something about it and the Democrats stopped them, and this is what you get. And as a matter of fact, the voting in North Carolina, there are a lot of shall we say, questionable votes there, and it's a very close and hotly contested governor's race in North Carolina that still hasn't been decided.
And Virginia too. Virginia too. That's why they came down on McAuliffe, because the governor, the Republican governor, was losing by 10,000 votes and 200,000 felons voted.
Well, that's Terry McAuliffe is the governor, and so but you're talking about the presidential election and other offices.
No, the new governor's race in Virginia.
I didn't think McAuliffe was up for re-election.
I thought he was.
I don't think he was up for re-election. I'll double check on that, but I do know that there, of course, he tried to by executive order make it legal for convicted felons to vote there without having to go through any other vetting process. But that was struck down by the courts, but evidently many of them did anyway. And so that's what's creating the problem there. And then there are the illegals who voted in California and in other states along the border there. And so, she's not going to have won. But what's amazing, and what's amazing to me, and what we should all, sort of be in awe of, is that Donald Trump won in spite of 3 million fraudulent stuffed ballot box votes.
I know. I mean, it's a total landslide.
That's an extraordinary thing, and certainly, I think that was the hand of God. He answered our prayers. And I know that when we were praying on our power prayer, we were specifically praying that God match every fraudulent vote with 2 votes for Donald Trump, right? And sure enough,
God answered your prayers, man.
I reckon he did, because even with 3+ million fraudulent votes, Donald Trump won, and he did. He won in an electoral landslide. So, it's an amazing thing, but... Yeah, they're going to be at it again next time. So we have to change the
complete system of voting. We have to change that in the next 2 years.
Yeah, we got to get on the ball. That's right. We got to identify these illegals, and the dead people shouldn't be voting anymore. And certainly
have voter ID and a pink finger.
Exactly, and
purple finger.
And exactly, and convicted felons in jail should not be able to vote from jail either, like they did here in Florida.
And don't throw out the votes like they did in Broward County either.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but this is part of winning elections is keeping an eye on the other side, make sure that they don't cheat, or if they do, that they get caught or don't do enough of it to win. But it's amazing.
Also, I want to thank you very much for the last contest of that one that you had four different winners for the song to get rid of Hillary. My wife is really excited to go to Cafe Positano, so that's great.
You got your prize package, didn't you?
Yes, I got it in the mail, yes.
Okay, good. All right, great. I'm glad to hear that, Jerry. Really glad to hear that.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thanks so much for the phone call. And it is amazing that the election was rigged. It was. And yet Donald Trump managed to win anyway. So it was a huge victory. And I don't think that the elite yet really recognize how big of a victory it is. Or perhaps they don't want to recognize how really big of an election it is. And that's one of the things that this Canadian reporter was pointing out to Howard Dean today, and that you elites think, you got the American public figured out, but then I think it's more in reverse. We got the elites figured out, and they are perplexed about us. But yeah, you cannot discount the fact that Donald Trump's victory is one for the ages, that is for sure, and that people's prayers all around the country and all around the world, I am convinced, I'm here to tell you, did make a difference in this thing. And in matter of fact, it was evangelical Christians and Catholics, mostly, who elected Donald Trump. And a lot of those Catholics, guess what? Are Hispanic Catholics. That's right. They came out in big numbers to vote for Donald J. Trump. Huge victory, and we're going to see huge progress in this country. I am convinced of that, too. And Donald Trump is, I believe, doing all the right things right now in interviewing these people from all different walks of life. He even interviewed Tulsi Gabbard, a congresswoman from Hawaii, Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii, who endorsed Bernie Sanders in the Democrat primary. And he's talked with her. She also has been very adamant against the Islamic State and against allowing, you know, just any old refugee to come into this country. And she has expressed concern about the present administration's handling of the war on terror, as it were. So I don't know that she'll be offered a position in Trump's administration, but she did show up at Trump Tower. So we shall see. And it's not unusual for a president to pick someone from the other side of the aisle. Once again, oftentimes it's in an effort, you know, to reach out to the other side and say, look, you know, we can get along. We can play nice with one another. Usually it doesn't amount to a whole lot, be honest with you. But Bill Clinton did choose Senator what was his name? Bill Cohen, I believe it was, for Secretary of Defense for a while, who was a Republican senator. So it can happen, so don't be surprised if it does happen. But I'll say what I said last night about these picks, and I said this in response to him interviewing or talking to, whatever you want to call it, Mitt Romney on Saturday. And that is this, that Donald Trump is going to pick who he thinks is the best person for the job and can do what he wants to get done. And if that happens to be Mitt Romney for Secretary of State, he'll pick Mitt Romney for Secretary, or at least he'll ask Romney. I don't know that Romney would serve. Most likely he would, but it would be kind of demeaning for him. But he can maybe put all that aside. But if he doesn't think Mitt Romney will do the best job for him, then he won't ask him. And that's the criteria that he's looking for. And that's really what we wanted when we voted for him. We want him to pick the best people for the job, bury the hatchets. He's buried the hatchet with Ted Cruz. He's buried the hatchet now, evidently, with Mitt Romney. Bury the hatchets. Let's get on down to solving the problems that we have, because our problems are huge. And if we're going to let ourselves get tied down by, you know, hard feelings and pettiness, then we're not going to be able to solve the problems that we have to solve, because they're much bigger than people's hurt feelings. So when Donald Trump is reaching out to these people, don't freak out, okay? If he thinks Romney's the best guy for the job, he'll pick him. And if it turns out he's not, then they'll part ways. But if he doesn't think that Romney's the best guy, he won't pick him. So that's what's at work right now. As I said last week, it's sort of an elaborate version of Celebrity Apprentice, where he's bringing all these people in, he's sizing them up, maybe even letting them play off one another a little bit. But at the end of the day, he's going to pick the person that he thinks can best fill the position that he's picking that person for. So we're just going to have to let that process work out. But as I said, if you want to get in on the cabinet pick contest, you're welcome to do that at any time. You can do it today. You can do it tomorrow. Don't wait too long, though, because before long, he's going to start naming picks. Matter of fact, we already have a pretty good idea who the Attorney General is going to be. It's going to be Jeff Sessions. We know that General Michael Flynn is going to be the National Security Advisor. We don't know a whole lot beyond that, but if you want to get in on the contest or change your contest entries, feel free to. For this contest, you need to name who's going to be the Secretary of State, Defense, and Attorney General, and we'll let you have the Attorney General. If it's going to be Jeff Sessions, that means you got one already. And then the wild cards. You pick a position and tell us who you think he's going to put in that. Okay, so 407-774-8255 is the number, and the prize for that contest is dinner for two on us, with us, at Cafe Positano. And, yeah, that includes food and drinks. So get in on that contest while the getting's good. And speaking of getting in on things, we'd like you to, if you like to golf, get in on the Sudden Sam McDowell Celebrity Golf Tournament coming up December the 9th and 10th at the Orange Lake Golf Course and Country Club down near Kissimmee Way. And this is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of celebrities. So of course, Sam McDowell is going to be there. Other baseball players, football players are going to be there. Mike McBass is going to be there. I'm going to be there on Saturday. And if you want to participate in this, it's real easy to do. I'll give you the phone number here in a second. If you are a vet and you mentioned that you heard about it on our radio show, it's only going to cost you $75, and that pays for everything Friday night, the party, the pairing party on Friday night, and the golf and breakfast and lunch and everything on Saturday. And if you're not a vet, and you mentioned the American Adversaries, it'll only cost you $100. The regular price is $125 for a single. And all the proceeds benefit Operation Renewed Hope Foundation, and their purpose is to end veteran homelessness. That's Operation Renewed Hope Foundation. And you contact Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. That's Charlie Hagee at 850-259-6334. And if you didn't get that number, just call the call-in number here and give your information to Nick, and we'll pass it on to Charlie to get you signed up for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you can come out and join us. Speaking of celebrities and a lot of fun, we're going to have a celebrity on the show with us tomorrow night, and it should be a lot of fun. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's right, the wrestling superstar, Hall of Famer, and very smart guy, SMU graduate, and he's a fascinating fellow, and it's going to be a lot of fun having him on the show tomorrow night. And because we're going to be off Thursday night, we're going to do our contest this week once again on Wednesday night, and Mike will give you the rules tomorrow night for that contest. I don't know what they are until he he brings them in here. He comes up with these contests, and we don't know where, but that demented mind of his seems to be fertile ground for these contests. So once again, you'll be playing this week in that contest for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats, and a life-size cutout compliments of Janice and Dino Rentos, DinoRentosStudios.com. These are a whole lot of fun, great decorations. And don't forget, you can get your Christmas decorations right there, right now, and you can get them at a discount if you tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries. That's DinoRentosStudios.com. And they do have nativity scenes. So if you're looking for a nativity scene for your yard or maybe the church or something like that, they can definitely help you out. DinoRentosStudios.com. They are located right here in Orlando, and they're great folks. They really enjoy what they do. And, of course, who wouldn't, being that you build things like that? And, by the way, their phone number is 800-704-7089. That's Dino Rento Studios, 800-704-7089. Don't forget to tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries. All right, we'll take a break. Come back for one more segment of the show. Kathy Santomassino has joined me in the studio. We're going to talk about our website for a few minutes. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama Cruises from $319 per person. How about an Alaska 7-night cruise from $399 per person? Sandals and Beaches are offering savings up to 65% off. America Waterways has river cruises, onboard credits on special sailing dates. Fathom Cruises, Dominican Republic 2016 cruises from $4.99 inside cabins and balconies starting at $6.99 per person. Or how about a cruise to Cuba starting at $7.99 for 7 nights for Florida residents? Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
We all just get along. Little love theme for you there from Barry White. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries drive time show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Barry White. Whenever I'm in Orlando, I listen to the American Adversaries. They're great, great folks over there. Don't forget to visit their website and join the American Adversaries Army. Thanks, folks. Enjoy my song.
I hate to break this to you, Chris, but Barry White is deceased.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And that wasn't a Barry White song.
No, I can't.
That was a Love Unlimited Orchestra.
That's not Barry White?
No.
Oh, I got it off of Barry White CD.
Well...
Oh, well, and I don't do a very good Barry White impersonator. I can't get that low.
Yeah, right? Stick to your day job.
All right, Kathy Santomassino is in the studio with me now, and she helps out a great deal behind the scenes, and she's been doing wonderful things on our Facebook page, right?
Yeah, Facebook is on fire. If you don't want to watch the mainstream media or Fox News, go to our website or our Facebook page, I should say, and I post the highlights of the day's news. So you'll get the video. You'll get my kind of sarcastic commentary on there.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really good stuff.
A lot of funny stuff on there, too.
A lot of funny stuff. Some stuff that obviously we try to knock the liberals because they're so much fun. We love to use them as our punching bag.
Not us.
But, yeah, there was something on there about someone who had commented about Michelle Obama looked like an ape in heels.
Oh, no, wait a minute. We're not going to be talking about stuff like that.
I know,
that.
But that's, I'm saying not, some of the stuff is very sarcastic. You've got to take it in the spirit of humor.
Yeah, but we don't do that stuff, and we ask people not to post, you know, things that can be construed as hurtful and racist like that.
This was actually a news story that got some press.
Right,
it wasn't local. It was a national news story.
Right, right.
But, we try to post every day, twice a day, morning, evening, because the news continually changes.
Yep. So check out our Facebook page and check it out a couple times a day. And if you'd like to post something there, please do so. Just try to keep it on topic, as it were. And but we certainly look for your comments and your input. And that Facebook page is
American Adversaries Facebook.
There you go.
And please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're trying to get as many followers as we can, and we are really branching out into some interesting venues. People from all over the country are commenting on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
So at least follow us. Tell your friends to follow us. And remember that if you can't get us locally, we have podcasts. You can listen live on our website. Everything is archived on our website, and there's some really great shows that are, I think, historical. For instance, you mentioned, Chris, the election night.
Yeah.
We were live, and it was sort of historical.
It was a lot of fun, anyway. That's
not
for
only
sure.
for the show, but for Salem Media to actually get those results out to our listening audience before the actual media outlets were able to give the final result, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, we were out front that night, that's for sure. And once again, we want to thank the great folks here at Salem Media that let us stay through the night until this thing was figured out, which we promised you we were going to do. And it was, I didn't know how much longer I could keep talking, but I was determined to keep talking as long as it took to get Donald Trump elected president. And it sure was a whole lot more fun than it was 4 years ago when it was us in here watching Mitt Romney go down and go down early. I mean, we were out of here, I think, 10 o'clock that night 4 years ago. But yeah, you can check all that out at our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And we've also got it set up now that, of course, you can join the American Adversaries Army. We've been talking about that for a long time. But it's also set up that if you'd just like to, throw us a few bones, as it were, you can do that. And, of course, we'll take every penny that that comes to us through the website, either because of the Army or because you just want to make a contribution to the show. We put it right back into the show. And we want to make this show as good as we can for you, and we want to make it as big as we can and get our voices heard by as many people as we can, hopefully eventually around the country. But we certainly could use your help in that endeavor. We are not employees of the radio station here. This is a business entity. It is a business enterprise. And, of course, we need cash flow. And we have great sponsors, and they are helping to support the show. We could not do it without them. That is a fact. Once upon a time, I could do this by myself, but those days are long gone. So our sponsors are most appreciated, and we would really like you to support them because they are supporting us. Dino Rento Studios, Patriot Home Funding, Jerry's Mercedes-Benz, Affirm Foundation,
Cafe
Aubrey
Positano,
Khan,
course, my favorite Italian restaurant.
Of course, Cafe Positano. Pasquale Barba has been sponsoring this show going on 6 years now. Mm-hmm. That is just absolutely unheard of in this business, ladies and gentlemen. But it's because a lot of you out there now like Cafe Positano, too, because of us. So you see, it works. You support our sponsors and you support us, and we're able to continue doing what we're doing and do even more of it. And that's what we have planned for the coming year, is to do more of what we are doing. So we would like you to be a part of that. And you can do that in a number of ways. And once again, it starts kind of with our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. But hey, look, if you are like Howard Dean describes us, you're out there, you're uneducated, you're a blue-collar worker, and you don't know your way around the internet, kind of like me, just call the call-in number here, and we can help you out if you want to join the Army or help us out. So, and by the way, people have called here inquiring about becoming sponsors for the show, and some of them have. So if you're out there and you have a business of your own, you can be a sponsor of the show. We can help you out. We can work with your budget, get you on our website, like Roxy Pacifics, they're on our website, My Liberty Threads, right?
And exclusive categories, too.
Yep, that's right.
So, if you're a realtor, we only permit one realtor to advertise on our show.
Yep, so if you want to be a sponsor, please let us know. And if you want to be a member of the Army, please let us know. And we do take good care of our sponsors.
We do. And our listeners, let's talk about our listeners for a second. Our listeners are very important to us, because without you guys listening and telling your friends and family and business associates, we probably wouldn't have made it to year number six. We want you to call in. We want you to tell us what's on your mind. We appreciate your input. Every one of you is important to us building our brand. We're going into year number seven in 2017. I don't know if that has a biblical connotation.
We're actually already in year number seven.
Yeah, but 2017 coming up is sort of like, you know,
we want to do a lot of things.
Number seven is happening here.
There you go. We want to do a lot of things. And if you help us out, it'll make it a whole lot easier. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Once again, thank you for listening. Kathy, thanks for everything you're doing behind the scenes. And thank you, as she said, you listeners out there, because without you, we ain't nothing, right? We're a Barack Obama. We don't want to be that, that's for sure. All right, stick around. Larry Elder's coming up after us tonight. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be off Thursday through Sunday, but we'll be back next Monday fired up and ready to go. Thanks so much for being with us. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.